Welcome to Possibly, where we take on huge problems like the future of our planet and break them down into small questions with unexpected answers. I'm Megan Hall. Today, we're taking a look at how renewable energy like wind or solar is stored so it can be used when the sun's not shining or the wind's not blowing. We had Brendan Gardner and Ashley Junger from our Possibly team look into this. Welcome, Brendan and Ashley.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
So why do we need to store wind and solar energy?
Well, right now we power most of our cities with fossil fuels like coal or natural gas. Those power sources create greenhouse gas emissions, but they do have one advantage.
What's that?
They can create exactly the amount of electricity we need whenever we need it.
One of the big obstacles with renewable energy, like wind and solar power, is that we can't make the wind blow harder or the sunshine more if we need more electricity.
And that's why we need to find a way to store it?
Exactly. But storing that energy can be a challenge.
To learn more, we spoke to Paul Denham from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory.
On the grid, the basic idea of energy storage is to store excess electricity in times where it's not really needed and use that electricity at a later time.
So how does this actually work?
Well, you can do it the old school way.
For the past 100 years, we've been storing energy by pumping water up a hill and then running it through turbines when you need more electricity.
This method is called pump storage hydropower, and it's still what we use for almost all of the stored energy in the U.S.
Paul says that the United States has about 23 gigawatts in pump storage hydropower.
For context, 1 gigawatt is a big power plant, like a big nuclear power plant. You can power a pretty sizable city with that.
23 gigawatts is enough energy to power the city of Washington, D.C. for about 10 days.
So a lot, but not enough to run the country.
Yep. Pumped hydro is efficient and effective, but it's only viable where you have enough water and the right topography. On the East Coast, for example, that's a challenge.
What about batteries?
Right now, the most common type of battery for energy storage is called the lithium-ion battery. They're the same as in your cell phone or electric car.
And if you strung a lot of those batteries together, you could store a lot of power. But the technology hasn't really reached the proper scale yet. The largest lithium-ion battery in the world can only power about 300,000 homes for a short period of time.
And grid-scale lithium batteries are still a pretty big fire risk, though that's improving.
In the short term, the batteries are likely to be used to provide a few hours of power.
Why is that?
Well, we use our dirtiest energy sources, like gas-powered turbines, when we have a surge or a peak in electricity needs. And Paul says,
peak demand period is 2 to 4 hours long-ish. And so if you build a 4-hour battery, you can nicely clip that peak.
That amount of storage helps keep some of the dirtiest fossil fuel power plants turned off. So it's a big step.
But what we really need is storage that can last all night so we can make up for the missing solar energy when the sun isn't shining.
How close are we to all of this becoming a reality?
We're getting closer every day. The technology for these batteries keeps getting more efficient and cost-effective, and capacity is increasing rapidly.
But there's still a long way to go before batteries can provide constant electricity while being charged only from intermittent sources like wind and solar.
Got it. Thanks, Brendan and Ashley. That's it for today. For more information or to ask a question about the way your choices affect our planet, go to thepublicsradio.org/possibly or subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at AskPossibly. Possibly is a co-production of the Institute of Brown for Environment and Society, Brown's Climate Solutions Initiative, and the Publics Radio.